The reading this morning is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 3, verses 13 to 22, which you can find on page 985 in the Pew Bible. Now, who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins, once for all, the righteousness for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he also went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory.
Today's reading may be found on page 877 in the Pew Bible. I read from John 14, beginning at the 15th verse. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all of the sunshine, all of the music, all of the liveliness of this occasion. And we pray that as we sit and listen, there will be a liveliness of activity in our hearts and minds, that your Spirit will work so to lead us on in our lives to be fully fruitful to your glory. Amen.
Amen.
You might find it a help. I will be referring to that gospel reading particularly today, and that was on page 877. And if you don't have a Bible straight in front of you, then do reach across. People don't mind reaching across the table and grab one. Page 877 and John chapter 14. on that day you will know. That's verse 20 of chapter 14. On that day. And Jesus is talking about the coming of the Holy Spirit. In our first reading, we had from 1 Peter 3:18 that Jesus is made alive, having the righteous one taken the place of the unrighteous. He has gone through death, and he being made alive in the Spirit is the term. And so today, what I want to talk with you about is three stages of reception of the Holy Spirit. And the first one is realizing that we have the Spirit as believers. So that will be the majority of what I've got to say, actually about four-fifths, about realizing that we have the Holy Spirit as believers. And the second thing is rekindling that Spirit. And the third stage is releasing the Spirit. I will mention the last two briefly, but first of all then, realizing the presence of the Holy Spirit. The readings that were given are, as usual, with the Gospel last, and of course that chronologically, in the historical sense of the events related, is in the wrong order, because Jesus speaks at the Last Supper to his friends before his crucifixion, let alone before his resurrection, let alone before the coming of the Spirit in power at Pentecost. And yet Peter is addressing the churches over in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. In fact, all stations west from Jerusalem towards the Aegean Sea, the sort of edge of Greece there, that have received the gospel. And that was all subsequent to the Holy Spirit coming in power at Pentecost. In these churches, Christians came together from streets and workplaces where they were subject to persecution. And this took the form, among others, of verbal abuse because their behavior was different from the society round about them. They were therefore mocked and ridiculed. And Peter's advice in the passage we heard read was, "Do not fear what they fear. Do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord." Now, do you recognize, Henry gave us some Latin before, Sancte Spiritu, Holy Spirit. We're talking here about sanctifying Christ in our hearts. And so it's like revering Christ in our hearts. It's like recognizing the Spirit in our hearts at work. That's what Peter is saying to these people in the midst of their suffering. Do you remember last week's gospel reading? That Jesus, at the beginning of the same chapter 14, you can have a look at it on that same page 877, says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." And from today's reading, we have, as I say, in verse 20, "On that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." Now I'm praying that maybe there'll be some folks who've been Christians for a long time among us, but who haven't actually appreciated before how God is so very present within you, as well as among us in the body of Christ. And that this is the day, as Jesus says, on that day, well, maybe this day, that we know that Christ is in us by his Spirit. And this is where our two readings come together. As I say, Jesus says, "I will go to the Father." This is verse 16 and on to 17b. "I will go to the Father, and he will give you another advocate or helper to be with you forever. He will be in you." Isn't that wonderful? And Peter encourages the early church, with scattered as it is within the Roman Empire, as I say, with those words, in your heart, sanctify Christ as Lord. It's like there's a conversation going on inside the hearts of the Christians. As long as they keep reaching out for Christ to please him, then they receive the strength to do it. A voice comes alongside their own will to say, yes, have no fear, I am with you. Well, I wonder whether you actually, sometimes in a difficult place, it may not be like those Christians in Cappadocia, but maybe, you know, like me, the heartbeat races a little bit as you testify to Christ. It can be in very simple ways. We're doing a prayer walk this Tuesday. It's under the auspices of Local Rovers, which is, I hope you remember, that youth outreach to the youth who rove the streets. And particularly as the evenings grow longer, there are more and more of them about. I'm really grateful that recently we haven't had damage or violence, you know, and difficulty within our church premises or grounds. But they are there, and we've been given the nudge, I believe, by the Holy Spirit, by God, to go out among them. And what we're going to do this Tuesday is to roam the parish parks and to quietly in our hearts be praying for all that we see, all the people that we see. Now, what if you joined that team? That would be absolutely wonderful. I was going through Burridge the other day in my car, keeping to the 30-mile-hour limit. Difficult to do, isn't it, through Burridge, to keep to 30, you drivers. And I had a van behind me, but whistling down the outside lane came a sports car. And I thought it my duty, really, to give a bit of a full beam on at that stage as it came past me, because I thought, you know, that's dangerous, actually. That must have been going at least 50. And two fingers came up from the driver's seat in response to my little signal. And I thought, you know, there was a moment where exclamation marks came on my sight screen. And then I thought, no, I must pray in my heart for, not closing my eyes, for that driver. Because actually, you know, it is really thoughtless and dangerous. And that person could lend themselves in far more trouble than they realize, and a whole lot of other people too. And I think it's that sort of moment where we feel aggravated, you know, but something within us makes us turn and do the opposite and have compassion. I don't say that to boast, but I just say, you know, I think these are signs of the Holy Spirit. Have you got, I won't ask you to talk with your neighbor now, but think in your heart, what is it this week? Maybe there's been an instance where you've been doing something surprising like that as a reaction to something bad. Or that the Spirit's been revered in your heart. Christ has been revered in your heart as you've just been warmed by the knowledge and the presence of God. Maybe your heart's had to beat a bit faster as you've given witness in a place. Jesus says in chapter 14, verse 20, on that day you will know. Maybe on this day you know, I know. How do I come to the conclusion that this is actually Pentecost and the coming of the Spirit in power that's being mentioned, and not just one of the resurrection appearances that Jesus would give to his disciples after his resurrection? Well, as we look at it, we see even in Jesus' last week's reading that we had in the Gospel, he began to talk to his disciples about going to the Father. So that's in verse 12, the end of verse 12. In today's reading, we have verses 18 and 19. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. And then verse 22, just one after the end of our reading finished today. Lord, how is it, asks one of the disciples of Jesus, that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. It is quite plain, isn't it? It's about the Holy Spirit. This is how Paul is so sure in his epistle to the Romans that all who received Christ as Lord automatically have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. He says in chapter 8, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And the opposite is true, the reverse is true, that all who are sons of God are led by the Spirit. Jesus describes this coming to faith as having his commandments and keeping them and loving Jesus. That's verse 21. So do you love Jesus? If you do, have you invited him to be your Lord? Have you been brought by God, as our epistle reading said, saved, as the term is used there by Peter? Many of us have. And God has given us his Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, to live inside you. That can be yours today if you've not yet done that. I think we live in a very feely-feely age, and we think that we must have a sort of zing, sort of hairs on the back of our head going up at all stages of the day and night for the Holy Spirit to be present. But it doesn't actually always happen like that. Sometimes, by his grace, he gives us that zing, that bit of something that is like a sudden burst of power that we feel. But very often, you know, it's by faith that we reach out to God, and it's in that way that we are reassured by the knowledge of his Spirit within us. Suppose you were to join the prayer walk on Tuesday, but somebody comes up to you in the park and says, "What are you doing here?" What are you going to say? I expect your heart might beat a bit faster, and hopefully a little arrow prayer to God, "Help!" And then, yes, he will provide the words to say. It is a miracle. He does it, though, every time. And, you know, that is just a testimony of the power of his Spirit within you. So I just welcome that opportunity of you in your workplace or in the park or whatever, of witnessing. And just let God show you that he is within you. So the first stage of reception of the Spirit is recognizing that we believe in Jesus, we have his Spirit living in us. And the next stages come to us continually during our Christian lives. And they can best be summed up by two verses from Paul's other epistles, 2 Timothy and Ephesians. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, "I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and love and self-control." That's 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 and 7. And in Ephesians, "Be filled with the Spirit." That's constantly keep on being filled with the Spirit through the Greek. "Make melody to the Lord with all your heart." Ephesians 2, 18 and 19. And so my prayer is that today will be this day that we know that the Spirit is within us, and that in the days that follow, as we near to Pentecost ourselves in our calendar, we will be renewed in the Holy Spirit. We will reach out to God for more of his Spirit. And this can take place in all sorts of ways. It's basically, as you rekindle the gift of God within you, it's asking God to blow on the embers, to fire up the Holy Spirit within you. Ultimately, I'd love also for there to be a releasing of God's Spirit among us. And I think this is a body thing, a body ministry, but it's where people are converted regularly to Christ and where people are healed and delivered regularly from long-term fear, from the paralysis of fears, lack of forgiveness, all sorts of things. And where miracles are released Yes, God alive today in his church. And this week we've got the joy of a man deciding to make good his commitment to Christ. Probably gave his life as a child, but saying now, at this stage in Christianity Explored, I want to give my life to Christ. Isn't that lovely? We can celebrate these conversions that are happening, added to our number, one by one, our new believers. We don't see them in church worshipping here on a Sunday, because their lives aren't always able to do that. They'll come to events and they'll come and worship at particular events. Not necessarily like you faithful ones who are coming, most of you, Sunday by Sunday. God bless you. You need to do that. But these others are being joined among us. And gradually, we pray they will come to that discipline as family life allows them to. So I look forward to that in the power of God's Spirit as he fills us more and more in his Spirit to overflowing, that we'll see his power demonstrated here again. Conversions and healings, a great setting free from all that holds us in fear or depression. The hindrance of the evil one using means to keep people from worshipping God and hearing the message of his gospel. Let us pray. Lord, may this be the day as we reach out to you and we say, I love your word. I love you, Jesus. I say thank you for your promise that as I make you my Lord, you promise to indwell me with your Holy Spirit. I thank you, and thank you that you are present among us in your body here. Amen.